Come take my hand and see the world around you. The time is right, just let the light surround you. And step by step, you feel it coming alive. The feeling deep down inside, and you've got nothing to hide. To reach the top, you've gotta keep on moving. Don't let it stop, just gotta keep on moving. I know you're doing your best, you're stepping up from the rest. Just keep on passing the test.
Happy, happy Tuesday to you. If it is Tuesday, it is time once again to get energized and powered up with Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TDN Radio. Yes, so it is always great to be back with you for another episode of Untapped Potential. This is where we stop by every Tuesday from 5:30 Eastern Standard Time to get energized and powered up for the week and to remind ourselves of the important life goals that we have set out for ourselves. So we enjoy some great music, we enjoy a good interview, and then we talk about the tip of the week in terms of staying motivated, staying consistent with those life goals that we have set out for ourselves. So today is no exception. This is another episode of Untapped Potential, and we have a great program lined up for you today. Today we will be bringing you an interview I did recently on dissecting Carnival 2024. Yes, so Carnival 2024 in Dominica and several of the other islands just concluded last Tuesday. So we wanted to take some time and just kind of do a post-mortem of the good and the bad and what still needs to be improved to increase the potential of Dominica's Carnival product. So I want to bring you the first portion of this interview today, and then I will bring you the second portion next week. So again, thank you for being here. I hope that your week is off to a great start. I hope that you're finding something to be grateful for. And don't forget, if you can't find anything to be grateful for, remember you woke up this morning, so there's always a reason to be grateful. So again, welcome to the program. I hope that you will find great value in the information that we will share today. But before we get started, before we jump into our interview, let us enjoy this number from Mr. Barris Hammond. Give it all you've got today, because that is all we can do, right? All we can do is give it our best and hope for the best in return. And I have to say, I recently saw Barris Hammond in Dominica during Creole Festival, and he never disappoints. He plays the same songs we've enjoyed for the last 30, 40 years, since the 1970s, the 1980s. And it is just so wonderful to see him live on stage, such an electrifying experience. And you know, one of my friends took a little video of me enjoying his music. I posted that on social media, and I think by now it has maybe 8,000 views. So I think everyone just loves the groove to the soothing sounds of Mr. Barris Hammond. So again, let's enjoy this number, one of my favorites from Barris Hammond. Give it all you've got today, and then stay tuned for the interview and the rest of the program.
Give it all you got today. Then follow your heart, go out and play. Yeah, you might never find what you see. So before you're old and weak, give it all you got today. These are some things you must bear in mind.
Hey, please everyone, every time.
What if tomorrow you wait and find
love of your life just blew your mind?
Don't you wait until it's too late. Don't let the horse go through the gate. Give it all you got today. Yeah. shining for you. There's a different morning. Go out and catch the dew. Give it all you got today. Chase the I can't survive away. Say go, tell it to all those who don't know. Give it all you got today. Spend all your life trying to impress. Too easily you answer yes. At the end of the day, they just disrespect. 'Cause what you give is what you get. And it's too late when you realize you never grow past chicken and fries. Give it all you got today. Tell me that I'm wrong and that I don't know what I'm talking about now. Oh, oh. Prove it to me now and then I'll gladly shut up my mouth. Yes. Oh, don't want to end up like my mommy and my daddy and the neighbors who work hard and then just fade away. It is a new world and this is a part I'll play. Give it all you got today. What if tomorrow you wake and find half of your life just blew your mind? Don't you wait until it's too late. Don't let the horse go through the gate. Give it all you got today. Give it all you got today. Follow your heart, go out and play. You might never find what you seek. So before you're old and weak, give it all you got today. Yes,
how much Dominican history do you know? Want to learn some fun facts? We have a great and fun way to test your knowledge and learn more about our history. Get your copy of Dominic Anu, Dominica in Puzzle. Fun for the whole family. Available now on Amazon.com. Visit pushpast10.com to learn more. Email us at dominicainpuzzle@gmail.com or call 877-698-9894.
Welcome to Risk Connections. We're talking about dissecting Carnival 2024, the changes we saw and the changes that are still needed to maximize the potential of Dominican's Carnival product. So this evening, we're going to have a very balanced conversation. We will celebrate the good that we saw in the Carnival season, but we're also not going to shy away from offering constructive criticism to discuss the changes that are still needed. So this promises to be a very spirited discussion, but the one thing I'm going to ask, especially to our audience on Facebook, because I know people can get very excited and very riled up about these conversations, which is good. It shows our passion for our country. But I'm going to ask that we do so in a respectful manner, right? So we can disagree, we can agree to disagree, but I want us to be respectful of each other's opinion, because unfortunately, I've had to block a few people for being very disrespectful with their comments. So we are, again, looking forward to your contribution, but please do so in a very respectable way. So let's start from the very beginning, Carlos and Dr. Fontaine. Let us start from the very beginning, because what I think we saw was very important. We saw that Mascam did something which I thought was brilliant. They went straight from Creole Festival, so they took the opportunity to capitalize on the energy that we saw during the Creole season, and they immediately started their Calypso tents. So we're looking back all the way in November
when they started their tent. So I just wanted to get your view on that, the fact that they were able to capitalize on the Creole season and go straight into the Calypso tents for mass camp. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Dr. Simon, I'm encouraged by this. As a matter of fact, in my career, professional career, I've had the pleasure of working with different Calypsonians, especially the bands. And one of the things I've been telling them over the years, you have independence, you have in the US, you have Liberty, and you have the Thanksgiving, you have the other carnivals that they take part in over as time passes. What they need to do is to produce more content a little earlier and not wait for the weekend before the opening of Carnival, which was previously the norm. And not only mass camp have taken that on as for Calypso, but the bands themselves, if you look at, for example, Signal Band, if you look at Triple K, if you look at Asa Banton and the other musicians, they are producing content year round. Mm-hmm. And as soon as independence is over, you get fresh music. Right now you don't even know, it's hard for you to pick if it's a 2024 song or if it's a 2023 song, because the songs are released so early as compared to what used to happen. So I'm very encouraged by that. If you look at on the other island, Trinidad, the soca, all soca artists start releasing music from summer.
Mm-hmm.
So they help to build the anticipation for their carnival, which comes up early when the year breaks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and before I come to you, Dr. Fountain, let me just say a very special thank you to the both of you guys, because I made a quick program switch yesterday, and I was still able to get both of you to say yes to being on the program this evening. So I just think it speaks of your passion and commitment to Dominica. And I do apologize for the late notice. I'm usually like weeks in advance creating these programs. But again, I just wanted to thank you for jumping on board when I made the program switch. Yes, over to you, Dr. Fountain.
Yes, thanks, Simone. Dr. Simone, thank you
Simone.
Very much. And let me say good night again to your listeners. Yeah, in terms of the early start, I think that's a good thing, because one of the challenges you have, obviously, is when you have Carnival so close or so early in February. I mean, within the first week of February, that's always a challenge with Christmas in between there. It's always a difficult thing. But I think in that case, certainly more is definitely preferred to less. And the more exposure the Calypsonians have, the more the public gets into the songs, is the better for the art form. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good idea for the tents to start looking at that, you know, right after the Creole Festival, build on that momentum from the Creole Festival and take it all the way through. So that when we have our carnival, like later in February or in early March, it gives it even more time, you know, because one of the things that you'll find already, even today, you could not hear much calypsos even be played on the radio. Already we've forgotten about it. So I think the idea of having those calypsos come out early, say October, late October, early November, is the ideal, so that you have all of November, some of December, then you have a break for Christmas, and you come back right after Christmas into, that would be more than enough time to get as much exposure as possible for the artists and get that familiarity of the artists with the general public in terms of the songs that they intend to sing throughout the season.
Yeah, and I also think we have to commend Mass Camp, the Dominica Festival Commission, as well as the bands, for taking advantage of social media. Because I think we are finally getting the message of the power of social media. So we saw many promotions of the bands, many conferences. So I think it is important that we are seeing that we are now embracing social media as not just an opportunity to share what we had for dinner, our travels, but really sharing business opportunities where the bands are promoting their music, they're promoting their carnival costume bands and taking advantage of social media. Your thoughts on that?
Yes, with the tools that are available to the bands, and not just the bands, but the various camps, the costume builders, and so on, it gives them more avenues to get their information out there, and if it's done right, it will help the entire product. Like you use tags. If somebody searches Dominica, your stuff will come on as well as other stuff related to Dominica. When people are searching for Dominica, you use Carnival. Somebody searching for Carnival in Dominica, your stuff will come up as well as their stuff. The advantage to that is persons who are overseas need time to prepare to come to a place that they plan to travel from, especially if you're coming from the US and so on. You want to buy your tickets early. So if you begin the hype from an early period, persons are there for independence and the bands are already releasing. As a matter of fact, I saw last year, one of those islands doing their carnival, they launched their bands, their costume bands, months in advance, so that persons are already seeing, oh, this is what you can expect when you come into Trinidad. This is what you can expect if you come to Trinidad. Yeah, this is what Tribe is presenting to you this season. So, oh boy, that looks nice. Let me come across and buy my ticket early before the prices go up. And what happened was a lot of persons, they came, but they decided late to buy the tickets. And you know how things work. So I see the prices of the tickets went sky high. Of course, you waited too late. And you also have to take into consideration persons who work, they have to get their time off. And so on and so forth. This is also why we need to look at, for example, in the Creole Festival, look at promoting those things a lot earlier.
Yeah, and before I come to you, Dr. Fountain, also what we saw is that it generates excitement for the events, because I know even from, I was in Dominica for Creole Festival 2023, and just the images that you saw from Creole Festival, people were booking their tickets for Carnival in October because they saw all the fun and excitement they were missing. So they were like, I'm not going to miss the next grand event in Dominica. So Dr. Fountain, the power of social media, because I see you embracing social media too. I see you posting some great content.
Yes, definitely. Social media has all the potential to make or break events those days. And it's a great way to hype up the whole thing. As you said, Mascam did a great job this year of even using social media to stream the tents using their green background. You know, that was done very effectively. Yeah. But I would like to see a lot more promotion being done for the product itself, for the Carnival product. Mm-hmm. I firmly believe that the product that we have, that we call Carnival, can be a great selling point for Dominica. It can be a great revenue earner. It is already making some revenues, but it can make triple, 10 times what it is making now. If it is properly managed, it is properly packaged, and it is properly promoted. And social media is definitely the way to do that. It's one of the best ways to do it. Practically everyone has a smartphone in their hands, probably 10 of their 12 waking hours. You know, they would have a cell phone in their hand and always checking online. And so on. So I think it's a great way to reach and also to encourage Dominicans in the diaspora to come down. Also, you know, Vincentians or Grenadians and others who want to take part in our carnival activities here. So doing that is a great thing. And then also the images that we have, we can use the images of the past years to sell what we can expect in the future. And Carlos made the point earlier about even in terms of the bands, you know, the, promoting the bands. We should not wait to start promoting the bands in December or in November. The people doing it should have at least a 10-month horizon. So we are talking about by the end of March, April, you should already begin to see what is on offer so that people can plan around it. They know what the cost is so that they can budget for it. You know, people who want to come to Dominica and be a part of the bands, that they know what it is involved, what the cost is, and how they can access it. You know, I had people ask me last minute, how can they get a costume? And I didn't even know. I didn't know how to direct them. I did not have the information. But all of that information should be there, should be available to the public. And using social media is a great way to do it. The Carnival Association or the Calypso Association Facebook page, and they should go into the Instagram, into TikTok. They have to invest some resources into the social media to make it bigger and better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, excellent point. Now, the other thing I saw was, in addition to the grand opening of Carnival, which is held in the city of Roseau, we had a number of opening of carnivals all over the country. And I just wanted to know, what is your opinion on that? Was that a good thing? Was it beneficial for the communities? Or, you know, was the resources spread too thin? So what are your views? Should there be just one centralized opening of Carnival City, or should we have so many other opening of Carnival cities all over the country?
Well, let me just correct you there. Mm-hmm. They did not call it an opening for all the other carnivals, all the outskirts. So they called it Village Carnival, or in Portsmouth case, Town Carnival. So yes, it was an opening as what we know it traditionally, but they moved away from calling it that this year. I noticed that. Mm-hmm. I would say that it would bring revenue, direct revenue to the persons from the area. So because they would be naturally be able, the shops and the bars would naturally be able to gain sales that they would not have normally gotten at a particular time. So it was good for them. In terms of getting the revenue itself from the carnival committee, I'm not sure how they do it, how they allocate resources for that, but a lot of these people try and do their stuff. Yes, DFC helps them, but as I think a lot of these people are self-sufficient as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Simon, I think it's a good idea. I know there have been mixed feelings about it. A lot of people feel that it takes away from the bigger celebration in the town. Mm-hmm. But it's also good because you're injecting some economic activity into the villages, into mm-hmm. the Colliers and Maro and St. Joseph and elsewhere, where they have those village carnivals, if you like. So personally, I think it's a good thing. It's a good thing to encourage it. I noticed that increasingly people in some of those villages are having their own carnivals now. So on Carnival Day, you have a very decentralized product. So you have serious carnival in Colliho, in Mao, in Dubla, and other areas around the country. I remember as a child growing up, we used to have some serious carnival in my village, and that's where I was initiated into carnival. You know, is where I remember vividly my mom holding my hands and taking me through those, you know, behind the band and the, you know, the village, the kind of excitement that it generated within the village, you know, and that is something I think that is good, that it has been rediscovered, notwithstanding the criticisms that people have been given, saying that it takes away. But I still feel you can have a serious carnival, town as the as the showpiece or the main one, but there is something authentic, there is something unique, there is something special about having Mass in those villages. And I think it's something that, that has to be encouraged as part of the tourism product. Again, it's something that is part of ours, and we should encourage it. And certainly it seemed to have worked, but at the same time as well, I believe that the festivals committee can do some serious work in terms of looking at the impact, economic impact against disruptive impact. You know, you can do those kinds of surveys, you can do those kinds of studies to see whether that is something you want to keep encouraging, and also how you can improve it going forward, because we constantly have to be thinking of how do we improve this, how do we make this a more beneficial product for the community, how can the communities benefit a lot more than they're currently benefiting. And it's something that we have to really take seriously and probably do some more work on.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of this centralized events for the carnival, you know, there is a toss-up because we saw an increased number of private sector pre-carnival events. But what we also saw is that many of those events clashed with our traditional events. So, you know, a time like before where Calypso show would be the Calypso finals would be the only show held on Saturday night. Now we have competing events. So it's kind of a toss-up because, again, talking about evolving and growing and benefits of doing so, but yet preserving tradition. So how do we balance that? How do we navigate that where we do want to see an increase in those private sector pre-carnival events, but we also don't want to see it take from the traditional Calypso show, grand finals, the Queen show, and the other seminal events for the carnival?
So I would like to stress that whatever we do, we don't discourage the private sector events.
Exactly.
And to get it started, everybody needs to sit around the tables, including the DFCs, including the Danger Danes, including the Rotaries, because they're all doing good events. And you want to make sure that our diasporas, when they and our neighboring visitors, when they come in, there are things for them to do. So yes, you don't want to discourage persons from going to the Calypso finals, but as I understand it, a lot of these events, they are managed or set up in a way that it doesn't clash in terms of the timing, with the Calypso final. Although, you know, Dominica and time already, everything starts late, so it drags
That's
on.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Back to the film, because most of these events are going to start later than anticipated start time, and then roll into...
You also have the argument of those who will say, but I'm not really interested in Calypso. I would rather go to my Viva La Carnival. So we have to sit down and talk about it. But we also have to look at getting increased events. Because, for example, just in our neighboring island of St. Lucia, when they have their independence events, they're host of events every day. There's something to do every day. There's somewhere to go to, and not only a major event, but there are also fringe events as well. And if you look at when they do their jazz, it's also similarly managed. They have jazz events at different parts of the community, the country, so they spread the bread all over the island.
Yeah, and before I come, you know, it just makes me wonder if this is an opportunity for more daytime events, because we have so many people coming in from the diaspora who are in Dominica on vacation.
Yes, you know, it's interesting that you raise that.
Opportunity. Rather than having them clash with our traditional opportunities, is there an opportunity to have more of these private sector events in the daytime?
Absolutely. We have seen, if you take the example of the Creole Festival, we have seen how effective the daytime events were to capture the diaspora crowd coming in, where we also have the events in the in the botanical gardens. What did you call it now?
Creole.
Well, it used to be called Creole in the Park.
They changed it.
Right. But what this did is that it allowed you to have these daytime events where you could schedule these private bands, you could schedule these other activities, but left the critical nights of the festival free with only that event happening. You know, I honestly do not believe that we should have anything competing with Calypso. There was a big show at the Newton Savannah, the same night of the Calypso show. All right, to me, that should not be the Calypso show, and to some extent as well, the beauty pageant. These two should be standout events that should not be competed with, and that these are the private sector events. Organize them, some of them around the daytime and the other nights when those two events are not happening, because you have the whole week. People who come in for Carnival, they probably come in at the start of the week. Like the Monday before, the weekend before. So they take this whole week off to come to Dominica. Mm-hmm. They do the Carnival Monday, Tuesday, and then they start leaving on Wednesday, Thursday. So you can still capture them, because I think that's where a lot of people are thinking, that they need to capture that particular audience. It can still be done without directly impacting or directly confronting the Calypso event and the beauty pageant, that are the two signature events of Carnival.
Yeah, and it just goes back to what Carlos was saying, advanced planning, because I think what needs to happen is there needs to be an early calendar where people are able to select dates to say, oh, we're going to put Lumination on this day, we're going to put this on this day. But the main thing that should be on that early calendar are the dates for the traditional events. So the first thing that needs to be on that calendar is the date for Calypso Finals, the date for Queen Show, the date for maybe Kiddies Carnival, Teenage Pageant, the traditional events. Those are the dates that should be first placed on that calendar, and then give the private sector the opportunity to select dates around that date. Or if you want to still have it the same day as Calypso Final, you know, you should probably think of doing it as a daytime event. I mean, we had events starting at 3 a.m. and ending at 10 a.m. So for Creole Festival. So why not do the same for Carnival?
I think this year, there was an event I was organizing in Portsmouth. I think it's called Stranded.
Mm-hmm.
It was a beach bikini competition, a fit. And the objective of that event was supposed to be a daytime event. It started at, I think, 12 and went on to the evening, finished early enough so that persons could go on to Calypso. But the other thing is, a lot of the persons, so the demographic who attend the Calypso shows, would not go to that show.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to keep those things in mind. It comes back to sitting around the table and discuss. Yes, we don't want to water down the Calypso show, but we also have to look at not just the timing of the other events. We also have to look at the days that we hold in those major shows. I noticed somebody said something important. I think it was Mr. Coffey at the Calypso show, that he was thinking that the shows, the Queen show and the Calypso Finals, should be held at an earlier period so that the King and Queen of the Carnival would have more time to reign during the Carnival season. And that can be something that we can look at. It's just a matter of sit down and proper planning. Sitting down together, the persons who are involved in the sector, the key stakeholders, and make everybody happy.
Right. Because I don't know if the FC does a post-mortem of the Carnival, which I think they ought to.
Yes, they do.
But that should include the promoters of these various private sector events so that we can start that conversation of saying, you know, because I just got the sense that folks just picked dates. They knew when most people would be on the island closer to, you know, the finals and the 2 days of jump up. And they just picked it. And there was no consultation with DFC. There was no consultation. People were just randomly picking the dates that best suited them. So I think it's an opportunity to, again, like Carlos was saying, come around the round table and start thinking ahead to next year. Because places like Trinidad, from the time Carnival is over, today's Ash Wednesday, they're probably planning for 2025 already. You know, yes, so why can't we do the same, Thompson?
Yeah, and that's the way it should be. And in terms of the planning as well, you know, the other thing that I think should be, we should give some more thought to, is in addition to these village carnivals that we talked about, we're talking about having calypso competitions in the various villages. We have a very successful calypso king competition in Grand Fond. Mm-hmm. I remember years gone by, they used to have one in La Plaine for the Southeast. You know, I believe you can have these as part of the calendar as well, where your calypso competition, which, by the way, is not just a calypso competition. It is comedy hour. It is, community social event. It's a great coming together of the community to hear their local Calypsonians. And quite frankly, it's a great night of fun and entertainment. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I believe that can be encouraged for all the villages. And what I would like to see is that the persons who emerge as monarchs in these competitions, they could somehow be a part of the national competition, mm-hmm. either in the semifinal stage or even earlier. You know, so that they become part of this, and that, so you'd have to work it out around how the timing of those competitions. But I think it's something that certainly needs to be encouraged a lot more in terms of again having that activity within the villages, infusing some economic activity around this. You know, and that is one way of doing it as well.
Yeah, and you're absolutely correct in terms of the village involvement, because, you know, I hear the mighty onion is dominating Grand Fond. How many times has he won? 8, 9 times he's the king that is of Grand Fond.
We have been given some serious competition to the mighty dice.
So why is he not in the main? Why is he on the main stage?
Yeah.
You know, he needs to join the main stage because we need the new energy.
Yes, indeed. And he should probably, you know, come to the nationals, you know, make himself known.
Right.
You know? But interestingly enough, years ago, Portsmouth used to have a calypso competition, and the mighty Miko won countless times in Portsmouth. But for some reason, he could never make that transition to the national competition. Mm-hmm. But at least he would try it, you know. And I think the same way, these others like Mighty Onion and others like him, you know, who've won in the villages, could be a part of a national competition. And what that would do, in fact, is that it would have a new crop of spectators, persons from within the villages, who would not want to go and support their own king in a national competition. And that's where the issue of pricing comes in. You know, I've been very vocal this past few days about the cost of the tickets for the Calypso Finals. I really believe $100 is too much. It's too high for a competition where you can probably lower the price and encourage a lot more participation. I know people struggle to do the $100. If you're paying for two people, that's $200. You might find it a lot easier to pay $100 for two people than $200 for two people, that kind of thing. So I think it's something in the discussion and in the post-mortem that the festivals committee is having, the Calypso Association is having, they must again take a look at the price, because it's not only Calypso competition happening during the season. You have the Queen competition. You talked about the Kiddies show, the various junior monarchs, and there's a whole lot of different activities and spending that people have to do during that season. And it's not a very big country. It's the same people that would have to patronize all of those various shows. So you have to look at the pricing. And the question is, if is $100 too high? And I personally think it is. And I believe that the association can make a lot more money. And by the way, I'm told that for 20 years, the price for the king has not increased. And at the time when 20 years ago, people were paying $40 for Calypso Finals and the king was getting 20,000. 20 years later, the king is still getting 20,000 and the price has gone up to $100. So it shows that, you know, you can still meet because it was being met at that time, because when it was $40, I'm sure in 20 years ago, the crowds at the finals were a lot bigger.
And but Dr. Ponkin, you also have to keep in mind that the costs associated for hosting those shows, it also increases as well. Back then, there were no LED screens when they were doing the shows for $40 and $50. Right now,
LED screens.
When they were doing shows at that time, right now, guys doing movies for as part of their pre-song release. So we have to make it affordable, but we also have to look at the other contributing factors.
Even the cost of the venue, because I've heard from the Calypso Association that there's no subvention, there's no assistance in terms of they have to pay VAT, they have to pay taxes. There's no accommodation in terms of helping them to afford the cost even of the venue, which from what I hear is astronomical. It's something like $40,000 from what I think Naren said last year on a program that I heard him. So that too has to be taken into consideration.
The other thing that we need to encourage is more private sector involvement, right, in terms of that. So if there's a balance, so the Calypso Association feels less strained, then probably they can look at coming down on the prices. The same way, like in the Queen shows, each Queen contestant has a sponsor. The Calypsonians have stuff that they have to do to prepare for their presentation, and those things cost money. So we have to look at ways of making it work.
Yeah, but I don't want to leave anyone with the thought that when you lower the prices, you automatically lower your revenues. That may not
necessarily be the case.
Because you lower the price, and if you're able to triple your gate receipts, your people coming in, you're going to increase your gate receipts, the amount of revenue. So, you know, it's something that you have to look at. Look at the cost, look at the potential. Okay, if you reduce by 20% or by 10%, how much more do you think you'll be able to attract? You know, and that has to be something that they can do and figure it out. But from what I've been hearing from a number of persons I talked to, the price was a deciding factor, and they decided not to come. Even they loved the Calypso, but they simply thought that the $100 was a bit much in the context of Carnival, in the context of all of the other activities going on around that time, and of course, in the context of our current day economy.
Mm-hmm. And I want to stay on the topic of Calypso, because you know Calypso is a huge part of our Carnival celebration, but we're already getting a lot of great comments on Facebook, so keep the comments coming. I see Thaddeus Black Pepper James is with us, and he's talking about the cost of the stadium, the sound, the light, and he's suggesting that what we need is a Carnival Village permanently erected. So we can already see lots of great thoughts coming in on the Facebook Live. So guys, thank you for being here and keep the comments coming. We will open the phone lines in about 15 minutes. So get ready with your thoughts when you call in as well. But speaking of Calypso, let us stay on Calypso for just a little bit. So let us first talk about the good. Some of the good that came from the Calypso competition at the grand finals. And immediately what comes to mind, the crowd, and Thompson, you were there. The crowd was very large from what I could see online. So like most people, I watched the online live stream. But of course, I was listening to Q95 for the commentary. So I think that's what most people do. Most people watch the live stream and listen to Q95 for the commentary. And Thompson and everybody else, Mr. G, Dr. Irwin, Dr. Irvin, Ian Jackson, everybody who participated, great job on the Bosso, great job on the commentary for the Calypso Finals. So the good, the crowd was great. We saw a historic making Calypso Finals night where we had three women, Tasha P, Joy, and Shanice, make it into the finals. And two of them, Shanice and Joy, make it into the top four. And we also saw Dice win his 10th Calypso Monarch crown. So there was lots of good. So let us get your observations of what was good for Calypso Finals. And then we will talk about the room for improvement, because there's always room for improvement.
Yes. All right. I could start on that. Certainly, you know, the good things on them, you already mentioned, it was history in the making in so many aspects. I personally was very happy to see the women come to the fore. And I believe if you have women taking on the Calypso like that, very seriously like that, that guarantees its longevity, because the women infuse a special passion, and they themselves also attract a new breed of increased viewership as well. You know, more people want, you know, come to hear them. And so that was really a good thing that happened. You know, the crowd was a very large one as well. In terms of even the timing, it was relatively good on the start of the show. One concern, of course, is that as you increase the numbers, the physical space, some people thought that the physical space allowed was too restricted, that it could have been a bit wider. But again, probably the expectations were not so much for a large crowd. So it was kind of compressed within a relatively small area. But one idea is that it probably could be widened, made a lot wider, more spacious, to allow for more, you know, for more persons to actually come in. The quality of the show was also very good. The sound system, it was very clear. You know, it was of a very good quality, very good quality, I thought, in terms of the overall production, in terms of the quality of the sounds, the messaging that came out. It was, though, a very solemn type of messaging. I thought the entire first half of the Calypso competition was very sobering. You know, you had songs about Fadina, you had songs about, you know, the state of the country, and very, very kind of subdued, you know, a very subdued sense. And people were, even the crowd was extremely, they were very quiet within the first round. People were contemplative, they were listening, they were taking it in. It was very interesting to see the mood of the people on the, you know, at the ground. But I thought that was good, because it told me that people were listening to the messaging. They wanted to hear every single word that was being sung. They wanted to take it in. They wanted to internalize it, you know, listen to it and reflect on it, which I thought was a good thing. So these are some of the positives that I think came out from the Calypso competition. And I hope when we talk about the negatives, it does not overpower what I just said.
Yeah, because again, like we said in the beginning, we're having a balanced conversation. So we cannot only speak about the good, we have to talk about the room for improvement as well. So Carlos, your thoughts on the good?
Oh, all right. So Carlos is having an issue, and I'm sure he will join us.
He'll join us. So let's talk about room for improvement.
You know, but the fact that you were able to get out of the three women, that two of them made it to the top four. I mean, that is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. You know, that really is phenomenal. It shows that the women can go toe to toe. Although in the how many years? In the 60 odd years, 57 year history, because in 1967. Mm-hmm. So the 57 year history of Calypso in Dominica, we've only had one woman been crowned, and that's Tasha P in 2011. All right, but the fact that we had two women coming close and really challenging for the crown, not one but two of them, I thought was very, very special.
Yeah, I'm very excited because it gives Calypso a new energy. You know, Absolutely. We had Trilogy last year bring some energy. Now we have the women bringing the energy. And of course, we'll talk about the youth in just a little bit. Carlos, your thoughts?
Yeah, I would just like to touch on that aspect. It was very encouraging, even starting last year, that Trilogy came in and he brought in a new energy similar to when Dice came into the competition, and he was immediately able to resonate with the judges last year, and that then created a rivalry of some sort with the Dice, and now when it moved on to this year, persons had this 10-10-10 thing going on, yep. Anticipating that Dice would have won the competition and make history for himself and on the competition itself. So that created even more anticipation, and that brought people to the show. The even younger persons gaining interest into Calypso, and that augurs well for the art form and creates longevity in the process. Not only Trilogy, but this young guy, Mighty D, who came last year with the dog song, and this year, you understand? So it's encouraging. It makes the art form exciting, and these are the kind of things that the association needs to capitalize on. Make the package more exciting, so that if somebody wants to put on, because it's really a free country, somebody wants to do something on the same night as the Calypso finals, it makes no sense, because everybody wants to go and see next year what Trilogy is going to come back with. And that is also why persons were quiet, Dr. Fountain, during the competition, because the anticipation, usually when the show is going on, the crowd is very attentive. And I can tell you that from a historical context, my personal involvement in those shows, persons are looking on with anticipation, and they're hanging on to every syllable that the Calypsonian puts out to make sure, because the songs come out weeks and months before, so persons get accustomed to the song and they know what the words of the song, so they want to see if the Calypsonian makes a mistake. And that brings to mind Peter Prosper that many years ago in Pottersville Savannah when he came on, and it was very entertaining. And if you pay attention to those times, the crowd is in an opera during that time.
Yes, indeed. And Soul Putty,
It's entertainment.
I remember the year that Tasha P won, that same thing happened to Soul Putty, where he forgot. And he was slated to be among those contending for the king.
Wow.
And that year he just kind of blanked out. I remember it very, very clearly.
That must be the worst feeling.
And
can you remember, Doc, the year that Bob did not make it to the show?
He didn't make it to the show?
Bob fell asleep.
Oh my God, that happened?
No.
And he missed the whole finals?
No, that brings up another
discussion. You are listening to Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone. If you live in Canada, the US, and the UK and are looking for Dominica products, including cocoa sticks, bay rum, coffee, soaps, crafts, and other popular Dominica items, then look no further. You can now shop on buydominicaonline.com, a secure, easy-to-navigate website selling a wide variety of Dominica-made and Dominica-inspired products. When you shop on buydominicaonline.com, you are helping to grow Dominica's economy. Go to buydominicaonline.com and enjoy home away from home.
just been listening to a portion of a program I did recently on dissecting Carnival 2024 and just where can we go next in terms of increasing the potential, the benefits of Carnival 2025 and beyond in Dominica. So as we move along in the program, we want to go back to our tip of the week. And as I talked about before, the tips are coming to you from Push Past 10. And to get your copy of this book, very simple, you log on to pushpast10.com. So that's www.pushpast10.com to grab a copy of this book, which I'm sure you'll find to be quite motivating. And the goal of this book is to teach us to be consistent, because the consistency is where we normally lack when we are trying to accomplish a major goal, such as losing weight, getting our finances together, starting a new job, going back to college. It is just the consistent efforts that will get us through finally achieving these goals. So I want to start with you today. I'm looking at chapter 2 of Push Past 10, and it is page 8, and it says, stop trying. So that sounds like a contradiction, I know, but you will see why it is so important that we stop trying. So again, chapter 2, page 8 of Push Past 10, and it begins by saying, my mistake, I kept buying new clothes whenever my weight would increase. I would allow my weight to dictate my shopping habits. I realized that by buying bigger size clothes, I was giving myself permission to gain weight. I will repeat that. By buying bigger size clothes, I was giving myself permission to gain weight. This had to stop. Whatever clothes I currently possess would be all I would possess until I figured this thing out. When my weight was up, I would wear my bigger sizes, which were a limited selection. And when my weight was down, I would happily jump into my favorite outfits. This worked like a charm, and it is something I practice to this day. I next realized that I needed to change my internal vocabulary. I needed to stop saying, I am trying to change my lifestyle. As someone once said, if you are trying, you are failing. The assertion of I am going to change my lifestyle affirms that it is not an option. So this was my new thought process. The biggest hurdle was yet to be conquered, though, the why. Why is this so important? Why can't I accept with age our bodies change, we gain weight and body parts sag? After months of reflection and internal debate, I realized that my why was simply living my optimal life. Success and living a full life have always been important to me. Academically, while I was never a natural student, this had never deterred me from excelling. I had achieved success every other aspect of my life without this missing piece of the puzzle. In my eyes, my success was incomplete. And so we must all find our whys. Superficial goals such as getting ready for the summer, a wedding, or a graduation are simply not enough. Why is it important to you? Could it be that everything else in your life seems to be out of control, and this is the one area that you can control? Could it be that you know that success in this area will spur you on and challenge you to be successful in other areas? Or could it be that this is the one thing you do just for you? I am often amazed when I overhear comments such as, well, this celebrity had no choice but to lose the baby weight quickly. I think, well, good for her. She has certainly found her why. She is not your problem or your concern. Focus on you. So today I ask, what is your why? Why is it important to you? without a well-thought-out response which goes beyond the superficial and is instead sincerely focused on you, I am afraid that this may not be the journey for you. I can also tell when someone has simply not found the authentic why, and it is one of the reasons I was at first reluctant to write this book. It seems that people are quick to seek advice. However, as soon as I began to offer some, the rebuttals come. Well, you know, I work long hours, I have children, I could never eat like that. This usually signals to me that this person, despite their words, is not seriously ready for change. Remember, the goal is not to adopt my lifestyle or anyone else's lifestyle completely. The goal is to draw from the information and find out what works for you. Just as important, and the number one thought which keeps me going, is that this lifestyle and all this information is only a big deal if you keep telling yourself that it is. So again, I'm going to stop here. Again, chapter 2, page 8 of Push Past 10, stop trying. So the essence of what I'm saying here is stop trying, stop saying the word trying, and just commit and say that I will change my lifestyle, because words are powerful. Words give our life direction, whether it is in a negative direction or a positive direction. So again, this is from Push Past 10, and to grab a copy, if you're looking to be more consistent with your life goals, you can simply log on to www.pushpast10.com, and it is right there on the home page. And speaking of Push Past 10, while you're there, don't forget to check out any past episodes of this program you may have missed along the way, as well as past episodes of Roots Connections that you may have missed along the way. So I want to thank you for being here for another episode of Untapped Potential. This is where we stop by every Tuesday from 5:30 Eastern Standard Time to get energized and powered up for the week ahead, and to remind ourselves of the important life goals that we have set for ourselves, and how do we remain consistent with these life goals. I forgot to mention, we're also grateful that this week is winter break for Sophia, so she has a nice long week off for the winter. So we are heading to Florida to enjoy some sunshine. Hopefully it's a little bit warm down there, because it has certainly been very cold here in Georgia. We went to church on Sunday, and at 8 a.m. the temperature was 35 degrees. So I think we're about done with all this cold weather. So let's hope that Florida is warm and sunny so that we can enjoy some beautiful weather. So again, thank you for being here. I look forward to being in your company next week at the same time. So as we live, remember that your life story is your strength. Remember to tap into your potential every week. Remember to stay strong, stay focused, stay positive, stay active, and stay engaged. Until we meet again, right back here at the same time, you have yourself a productive